Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to New Human Living Radio Show, bringing you powerful interviews to awaken the power in you. Learn more at newhumanliving.com. And now your host, Les Jensen.
Good evening and welcome to the show. I'm really excited about the show tonight because it's a powerful guest and a powerful topic. Paul Hoyt is our guest tonight and he'll be coming on in just a few minutes. But I wanted to take a moment and talk about when to know when to take the next step, because the topic tonight is about spirituality and business. And when we're living our lives and we're getting to a point where there's a transition that's about to happen in our life, perhaps we've been working in an industry for a while or we've just finished school or got out of the military, and we're going to start another chapter. And when that's completely in a different realm than what we've done in the past, that's a pretty big change. And when you talk about powerful and exciting things, you can get anxious and maybe quick to the trigger. And I just want to recommend that although we're going to talk about powerful things tonight, you need to have the wherewithal to know the timing of when things should happen. I know myself, I've been quick to the trigger with what I thought I should be doing next. And I didn't always have my bases covered, and it showed me that in no uncertain terms. And so although we're going to talk about powerful things, I want you to be aware of your life and make sure you have the bases covered, especially if you're a provider for others. A lot of times the journey that we take can take more time than we think. When we get excited, it seems so real, so tangible, but yet if the infrastructure hasn't been put together and we go to put our weight on it, we might have some difficulties. So just be mindful of that. And now I want to get right to our topic because it's two things I'm very fond of, and our guest, Paul Hoyt, tonight is a good friend of mine, and I really like his authenticity and his compassion and his just his presence that he brings when you work with him. I don't want to waste any more time. I'm going to go ahead and welcome Paul to the show. Hello, Paul.
Hello, Les. Thanks for having me on your show tonight.
You know, Paul, it's like you have both barrels loaded, because on one side you work in spirituality and on the other side you're quite immersed in business. How do you maintain a balance between those two things?
You know, I actually think it's that dual passion that allows me to maintain balance in my life. And I do have those two passions. On the one hand, I am deeply passionate and eager and excited to help people who want to start a business and grow a business. My focus there is on small businesses, typically with $0 to $20 or $30 million in revenue. And one of my sub passions there is really focusing on micro businesses. Businesses that have 5 employees or fewer is one of the specialties that I have in that area. And every time I see somebody that raises their hand and says that they want to start a business or they have a business and they're going for it, I just immediately fall in love with them. I really want to help them because I'm so excited about the courage that they're demonstrating, you know, and the zest for life that they are exhibiting by taking that risk and stepping up to that challenge. So I am very passionate about that. And on the other hand, you know, for the last 45 years, I've been doing my work. I've been working on myself, working, you know, almost every day to become a stronger and wiser person, to become a more kind and loving person and joyful person. And that has paid off in incredible ways. So I have these two passions. you know, this passion about going for it in business and mustering up to the challenge, and this other passion about going for it when it comes to spiritual growth and just becoming the best person that I can be. So the common theme there is going for it.
Right. Well, I liked what you said about when you observe courage in others, there's something attractive about that. And, you know, I can relate. It's that the boldness of passion that says, I know this, you know, I know this is my really powerful material, and you take the action and you do the due discipline to build what it needs to fulfill itself. So when you're engaged at that kind of a level with like you said, that ongoing courage, there's something that's just so satisfying about that.
Yeah, amen. I looked for the reason why I fell in love with small business owners for a long time, and one day I kind of found it in a meditation. And that is, it's that spark of life. You know, it's like when your kid comes to you and says, I want to try out for the team, or somebody says, I want to go out for the play, or I'm going to ask that pretty girl out to the dance, or I'm going to go out for the cheerleading squad. Whatever it is, when people look at something that they would really like to do, that they feel like, you know, this is something that I can do, it's really going to, subconsciously, they know that it will enhance their self-esteem, that they'll somehow feel better about themselves for having accomplished the goal, and hopefully in some cases, or most cases, they'll feel better about themselves for even trying it out in the first place. You know, it is that zest for life. It's that, you know, it's that dandelion trying to break its way through the concrete. You know, it's life itself that I see in other people when they step out in courage and decide they're just going to go for it.
Oh, yeah. There's something certainly electric about it. The, you know, the spiritual journey, when you start to work on yourself, you know, work's such a four-letter word, but you refine yourself and you understand yourself better. For myself, what I find is my ideas expand and grow when I take time to listen to my own inner voice or my inner desire of what my potential could be, and then how could I play that out into creation. And when did you first have the notion in your life that spirituality was going to play such an important role in it?
I'm not sure when I figured out that it was going to be so important to me. When I was 14 years old, I kind of made a declaration that the church that my father and our family went to was no longer going to serve me, that it just didn't make sense, and I was just, you know, it was not the path for me. And by golly, I was going to go out and figure out the meaning of life and the nature of reality, and I was very confident in my ability to do that. I was one of the smartest kids that I knew and thought to myself, you know, quite arrogantly, and that, you know, I'm going to do this. If anybody can do it, I can do it. I'm going to figure out what this enlightenment stuff is and what higher consciousness is going to be. And, you know, and so I started my quest a long, long time ago, trying to read all the masters. And at first I wanted to study occult systems, you know, astrology and tarot cards and numerology and other systems to gain power, because it was this inner drive to feel safer and just to feel more secure in life. So I started out on a quest for power, and then later on shifted it into a quest for other things.
Wow. You know, I like what you said about the desire to feel safer.
Mm-hmm.
you know, kind of the old school mindset of growing up was, well, you know, if you go to college, then you'll have a degree, and that'll entitle you to a job. And when you entitle yourself to a job, you have a career that you can click off 3 decades and retire. And it was like this unspoken agreement between you and your tribe that if you followed the rules, the tribe would take care of you. And now we get to the point where a lot of the agreements have skewed or collapsed, and people are wondering what they can do to feel safer. And always, there's an inner inspiration within us that has a knowingness of our life and what can help us best next. And when you work with your own business, because you've written books, you have business material online to help people understand the nature of business, how do you see that inner inspiration showing up with how you execute your business?
I try all the time to focus on taking my spiritual values and principles and applying them to the challenges of business. So if I've got a challenge with, you know, a working relationship with a supplier or with a client that's not going right, you know, I look in my heart and figure out how I am somehow attracting that, how I am manifesting that, how I am contributing to that issue, and take responsibility for it. I think that's one of the huge lessons in both business and in life, is to take 100% responsibility for the things that you experience. On the spiritual side, you know, the spiritual law, the law of attraction, the law of manifestation, I call it the law of self-determination, is that everything that we see, feel, and experience is a manifestation of our subconscious mind. And if we take that same law and apply it to business, it's everything that happens in our business is our responsibility. You know,
right.
It might not be, quote, our fault, it might not have been our mistake, but it's our responsibility to manage it, to take care of it, to own up to it if it was something that needed to be owned up to, but to handle it because there's nobody else there to do that. The buck stops here whenever you own your business. So I see a great correlation in between some of the spiritual laws of behavior in the universe and laws that apply in the business environment. So I try as best I can to apply those spiritual laws and principles to the challenges in business. Likewise, whenever I have a challenge in business, I try to learn the lesson that challenge is presenting to me. The law of lessons, I call it, says essentially that the universe presents us with opportunities for growth all the time. And sometimes those opportunities are painful and sometimes they're joyful. But whenever things happen to us, when something goes awry, then we have the opportunity to learn a business lesson from that, but we also have the opportunity to learn a life lesson from that. And essentially, you know, many spiritual teachers will tell you, if something bothers you, you know, if something upsets you, if something scares you, there's a lesson in that. If something is separating you from divine energy in any way, then there's a lesson in that. There's a lesson about, you know, a way in which you can grow, a way in which you can close the gap in between you and your divine self, consciousness at all times, you know, whenever that challenge occurs.
Nice. I like that. So to kind of couch that a little bit, by tending to it, by tending to the needs of the business, because it takes some mindfulness, but by being diligent with that, that diligence gives you that feeling of feeling safer because you're tending to what needs to happen. I mean, because the reason I bring this up is I look every day at people who are going through so much change in their life, and a lot of times they don't understand what it all means, and they're trying to make sense of it. And for some of them, it might be the first time they've had to tend to life in such a raw and upfront way, and that can be intimidating, and they can feel uncertain about the future. And that idea of feeling safe does come from being very mindful of the circumstances in your life, and if it applies in your business too.
Yeah, and I think almost by definition, when somebody decides that they want to go into business or if they want to expand their existing business, you know, they're stepping out into uncharted territory, unknown territory to them. I think that the overwhelming majority, like 90% of the people that go into business, essentially take the job without knowing what the job is. They are
right.
A good consultant, or they're a good coach, or they're a painter, or a roofer, or whatever, and they think the business that they're going into is essentially delivering their services and doing what they love to do and doing what they're so good at doing, and they don't realize that that's, you know, can only be 30 or 40% of the job. And when you first start a business, it's only 5 or 10% of the job. That there's a whole bunch of other stuff that needs to be taken care of in terms of product development and branding and marketing and learning salesmanship and setting up the books and all of that other stuff. So most people go into business without even knowing what the job is, and they very quickly find themselves over their heads, you know, at some amount of risk, and it's a marvelous opportunity for the universe to teach them the lesson of humility. I know it has been for me. And by the way, this is not the pot calling the kettle black. When I first went into business in 1980, you know, I made that exact same mistake that I've seen hundreds of other business owners make. I was a computer programmer, and I felt like I could just set up my shop and hang out my shingle and sit in a rocking chair on the front porch, and the world would be a path to my door. That the rest of the world would figure out how talented I was and just line
right.
up to do business with me.
Right.
You know, it was a very naive understanding of business that I had when I started. And so I do everything I can to help small business owners, you know, very quickly understand what the job is and give them the fundamental training they need in grounded business principles to help create a business that will allow them to survive first and then to thrive later on.
And, you know, you do that so well. I've known you for a while, and I really like the way you've laid out the mechanisms of business. You know, I've worked in engineering and technology for several decades, and a lot of times what I'll notice is really technical people will come up with a great idea. I mean, it's really a remarkable piece of work. And they'll be so delighted with what they've accomplished, they'll focus on the part they created and not the whole experience. So, you know, I don't know an example off the top, like maybe I'm making a new kind of remote, and I've developed mm-hmm. a way for it to communicate, but I haven't paid any attention on the user interface or where the buttons are or how clear the instruction manual is. And since it's their inspiration, they're just so damn excited that they've got the technology part worked out. And they can go to create a product and not pay attention to the user side of it. What will the actual experience of using it be? Because that's just as important as the technology itself. So when you teach people about business, it gives them that bigger picture of how marketing plays in, or intellectual property, or to bring a more rounded scope of what's involved in making a successful business venture work. So what do you normally notice? Do you notice a common behavioral trait in your clients that holds them back from being successful?
The thing which holds most people back is their fears. So in general, the relationship between spiritual growth or personal growth and business growth goes something like this. In order to have business growth, we must have professional growth. We must become more talented business people. We have to learn things. We have to do things that we've never done before. That professional growth is essential to business growth. And personal growth is oftentimes essential to professional growth. So as we step out in courage to do things that we've never done before, for example, learn to be a salesperson or learn to listen to the market when we're bringing a new product or service to the market, when we step out to do something we've never done before, it puts us in a position that we've never been before, which can trigger a lot of old childhood fears and really start engaging it, we start engaging in childhood survival strategies that were left over that we would have never experienced if we hadn't been in that particular situation, when the energy had shifted enough to where it triggered something deep in our subconscious mind that triggers a fear. And then it's a matter of, wow, what do I do to move forward? Can I really think of myself as being a salesperson? Can I balance the books? Can I manage my cash flow? Can I hire somebody? Can I fire somebody? You know, all of the different activities that are required in a business, if we haven't done them before, they're likely to trigger our fears. And so whenever that fear is triggered, we come across some blocks, you know, something that really stops us in our tracks. And it's that point in time that we really are gain great benefit by focusing on personal growth, by understanding, you know, what the source of those fears are, by healing them and dealing with them in some way. Now, fortunately, there are a lot of therapists, there are a lot of good coaches like myself that can help small business owners understand that they have a block and help them get to the source of that block and help remove that block through a lot of great techniques. So the blocks don't have to shut you down, but they will almost always slow you down for a little bit.
Sure. I like the idea of feeling comfortable, feeling uncomfortable, because, you know, like we talked about earlier, there's that need to feel safe that the choices that you're making are going to be, you know, quote, the right ones, unquote. And when you go to take that bold step, there's that apprehension, and not quite, you might not feel totally confident in how it's going to turn out. And when you don't know the outcome, I think that's that raw feeling of, wow, you know, the boldness, the courage that says, you know, it feels so right, I'm going to go for it. So overcoming that hesitation when you start something new, something you haven't done before, that pivot point is really critical to making any kind of a substantial change in your life then.
Yeah, absolutely. And it happens along the way. You know, it's things that we face, you know, every month or two or every week or two, we come across a new situation, an opportunity to do something, like I say, that we haven't done before. And sometimes that just goes very quickly and very easily and very comfortably, and sometimes it triggers a fearful response in some way that, you know, takes a little investigation, a little research, a little healing in order to feel comfortable taking that next step, whatever that next step is. And Lord, I've been after it for a long time. I've had my current business now as a small business consultant for 13 years, and I'm still learning and growing. I'm still, you know, taking those step upwards. You know, every day or every week or so, I come up with another insight, both in my business and in my spiritual life. So this inner journey, whether with the inner journey of life or the inner journey of business, continues day by day. Once you become an introspective person, once you start to have some sense of self-awareness, once you develop the habit of checking in and asking yourself, how am I feeling right now? Am I at my best right now? Am I a little unconscious? Am I a little bit frightened? Am I a little bit fatigued? You know, how am I doing right now? And step into that sense of detachment and self-awareness and a little bit of higher consciousness. The journey just continues day after day after day after day.
You know, it's kind of like growing your self-trust, that inner journey. I've been doing it, that inner reflection for at least, well, I don't want to do the math, quite a while. And, you know, spell accuracy with a few backspaces, you know, it happens. But, You can flex that trust muscle. It's like, and it goes back to that feeling safer. You know, I mean, when you have stuff in your subconscious you haven't really looked at, and it might not be something you're fond of. You know, unresolved pain or anger or guilt or shame or whatever. You tend to get good at avoiding anything that might stir it up because it doesn't feel good, because that's why it's in your subconscious. You chose not to feel it and you suppressed it. And when it comes to trusting yourself, because when you go to do something bold, you're kind of leveraging yourself against your own subconscious. It's like, will this house of cards fall apart or not? I mean, you know, at a subconscious level, you can be pretty concerned about some of the boldness that you're willing to afford yourself. But I suggest that you can flex that trust muscle with yourself in ways that have no consequence, and build your own trust. For example, if you're walking on the sidewalk and there's a concrete ledge next to it, hop up on the ledge and balance yourself. I mean, if you fall, it's only not very far. That's what I'm talking about, generating opportunities where you trust yourself and the consequences aren't significant. And by doing that, you build your ability to know yourself. You come to understand the nature of yourself enough to know when you're pushing yourself to the edge or not. And by practicing that on something that has no consequence, then it's safe. And so you can actually build confidence without taking any risk. And that can help you trust yourself more and more, so when it comes time to take a risk that does have consequences, there's more confidence in your step and there's more passion in your engagement of it.
Excellent. I like the analogy of jumping up on a ledge. Another analogy I might use is if someone is fearful of public speaking, but they know that that's something that they need to address to move forward in their business or to move forward in their life, or just because, you know, it just seems exciting to them. There are organizations like Toastmasters that one can join, and you can listen to some speeches and see other people learning the art of speaking in public, and then you get an opportunity to try your first speech, and you have feedback in an area that takes just a little bit of courage, but essentially there's no consequences because you will be supported and encouraged, you know, and guided, no matter whether your first speech is a killer or your first speech you just stumble and bumble the entire way.
Right.
So I think that's important. I think you're absolutely right that courage is a learned skill. When it comes to business, however, when you decide to make that plunge of, especially if you decide to quit your full-time job and go into the business full-time,
right.
You know, that's like I've jumped off the diving board now. I hope I know how to swim. And most people don't.
Yeah.
Most people don't know how to swim. And it's real important that I think before you jump off the diving board or just as soon as you hit the water that, you know, you reach out and say, I could sure use a little guidance here on what it means to tread water or, you know, at least, God please, somebody teach me to dog paddle, you know.
Right. Yeah,
so you can stop taking on water. But You know, here in the United States, I think we actually don't do a very good job of teaching people to be entrepreneurs. There's no classes that I know of in college systems or high school systems that teach people how to run a small business. Most of the programs that we see in college courses teach people how to run big businesses, how to run a $20 million business or a $100 million business. They teach
right.
people, you know, here's some aspects of innovation and other sorts of things, but they don't teach people to start and grow a small business or a micro business anyway. That's why I've developed some of the training programs that I've got. So the other thing which does not teach people how to start and run a business is experience in corporate America. It is, unless you have like general manager responsibilities, P&L responsibilities, sales and delivery responsibilities within the context of a large corporation, then you by definition haven't learned what you need to learn in order to be the successful CEO of a small business. But unfortunately,
right.
I see a lot of people in corporate America decide that, you know, I was a vice president of a $100 million firm, or I was running a division that, well, I ran a $20 million division at a, you know, at a corporation, and they believe that that qualifies them for being a small business owner. And, you know, if they go into the experience of being a small business owner with a fair amount of arrogance, which or overconfidence, which is a kinder way to say it. You know, and certainly those are the mistakes that I made a couple of times as well. You go into it with a sense of overconfidence, then they're not open to learning the lessons that they really need to learn and being guided in the way that they really need to be guided. They have a tendency not to get the founding education that they need. They have a tendency not to get the advisors and the mentors and the coaches that will really be valuable to them in the early stages of their business. Until 90 days goes by, or 6 months goes by, or a year goes by, and or in some cases 5 or 10 years goes by, and they realize that, my goodness, this is not turning out the way that I had hoped for it to turn out. I'm still struggling. Even if they're surviving, you know, I'm still struggling, and I need a little support.
Wow.
So I encourage people to get that support from day one.
And you're the person that provides that kind of support. You know, the that idea that I've run a $20 million business, or, you know, the examples you were using, and how our education system is kind of set up where we end up working for somebody else. Like, a lot of what I teach is karma, and I have a friend online that went to MIT, and I asked him how many classes he took in karma. And he said none. And if it was taught, it was taught under religious alternatives or something like that. And I'm like, well, wait a minute. Religions are the scoundrels of karma in a lot of ways. So that'd be like a corrupt banker teaching economics. and so we're not, but you bring up a good point. We're not really prepared by our rank and file upbringing. It doesn't mean that we can't learn it along the way. For example, both you and I have been to the International Forum of CEO Space, and I can speak for myself. The first year I went there, it cleaned my clock. I had no idea the mentality or the caliber of thinking that was taught there. And I know you're even a teacher at CEO Space, and you've gone many times too. It when you have an idea burning in your heart, when you have a passion in your life that draws up this courage, take the time to fill in the blanks in your life with information from people who's been there. BJ Dorman created CEO Space, and he stacks it with people like Paul Hoyt. I mean, you have such a wonderful spiritual attitude and a business savvy, and what a wonderful set of talent to bring to a forum like that. I'm just encouraging people to take the time to grow themselves. There's wonderful opportunities out there to expand your own knowledge and your own understanding of the mechanics of business, because oftentimes your heart and your soul might be telling you to create a new way to farm or a new microeconomic model or whatever. And when you have the ability to wrap a sound business model around that and get the kind of support that you need, your spiritual purpose, the purpose you're here on this planet for, can expand in very powerful and dynamic ways. And you really just can't know how broad and deep that can reach until you actually engage some of this material. So I encourage you to reach out to Paul. If you have a small business that you're looking to start, back yourself up with the kind of experience that people have been there can have.
Yeah, I agree. I've been to 48 or so of these week-long business growth conferences that CEO Space puts on 5 times a year. The next one is on March the 23rd, just coming up in the next 11 days from now, where I'll be going back again and having the pleasure to talk about the art and science of writing business plans. The privilege of being on faculty there and sharing what I have learned about one subject or another is really nice. And I always enjoy the people that I meet there. Something about CEO Space, it attracts people who are on a business journey but also on a spiritual journey. I was talking to a friend the other night, and he says, well, how many people, how many of your clients do you think are also on this journey of personal growth? And I thought about that for a little bit, and my answer was 90%. I think that there are people out there who really want to drive in business, who have this, they still got their mask on, where they don't have a sense of humility, and they still have this sense of overconfidence and even arrogance and pride that prevents them from looking inside or even admitting their fears to themselves. They get angry, and their anger, it's justified. There's nothing to that. That's what we're supposed to feel. We're supposed to be anxious and stressed and, and have upset stomachs and headaches and all that stuff all the time. It's just the way that life is to them. But because they're in a state of denial or in a state of I don't know where to turn, my thoughts are racing so much all the time, I can't even conceive of sitting down and meditating. What the heck's that all about? And you got to be
right.
And anybody that says that they can sit in the stillness or experience the silence, they think they're just, full of hooey that can't even exist. They can hardly even conceive of what it's like to have an experience of higher consciousness. But that I believe is fairly rare. I believe that 90% of people who want to start a business, who want to be in a small business, are also on a journey of personal growth. They have what my friend called that questing spirit, that I'm going on a quest in the outside world, and I'm also on a quest in the inside world to learn the lessons of life and to become the best person that I can be and to enjoy life in the highest fashion that I possibly can. And that's the spirit that I love. It's that spark of life, that zest for life that manifests in the outside world in terms of taking chances and being all they can be in the terms of their small business, and it manifests in the inside world in terms of being willing to learn the lessons that life has to teach them, the courage to look at that frightened child deep down in their soul, to look at the fact that, that 90% or so of all of their actions are driven by their subconscious condition, and that most of their subconscious condition was formed by somebody that was 2 years old or 4 years old or 6 years old. Essentially the foundations of our life were poured in concrete by a 2-year-old child. And
sure,
there's bound to be flaws and challenges with that. And it takes courage and it takes time and, a few tears shed along the way to go in and find that stuff and accept it and deal with it and heal it and grow and learn from it.
And life gets so rich and rewarding when you're willing to do that. It's, you know, the journey itself, what amazes me is how it's always anxious to expand yet again. And there's just no limit. It's a well you can go to open-ended of potential, our human potential. There's a period of Germany called the Miracle Years. You can Google it. And they didn't have, there were just a few years where their economics were untethered. And in those few years of time, there was such a rapid expansion of commerce that was experienced. It's called the Miracle Years of Germany. And what that shows you is when you have a healthy business model, cooperative business model, and you apply human potential to it, that inspiration that we all have a connection to, that things can turn around in amazingly fast ways. And so when you look at the headlines and there's all this media coverage about what's not working, don't ever fret about whether or not it's overcomable, because our human potential can easily trump any lousy story we've told ourselves. our human potential can easily erase any kind of a notion of struggle or fret once we get in alignment with that truth, and once we get that inner trust going and a sense of courage, and we boldly engage whatever it is that we're up against. Every single time, our potential is more powerful than the condition. And the condition is merely a lesson or a stepping stone for us to grow ourselves. So I look at what's happening to humanity right now, and there's just oceans of potential of human desire. People want a better story. People want better choices in their life. A lot of being a CEO is providing value and solving problems. And when you look at our culture today, we're pregnant with that. And so we're really at a very ripe time of humanity to show up for yourself in your own personal passion, because we're just poised for this new story to unfold. I'm really excited about this next chapter of our human condition.
I am too. I think, and technology is playing a significant role in that. You know, with all of the innovations with the internet and with mobile technology today, it's getting harder and harder for the scum of the earth, the evil ones that remain out there, the fearful ones, shall we say, those who abuse and manipulate others, you know, out of their own, you know, attempts to feel more powerful. It gets harder and harder for them to hide, harder for the folks in North Korea and for the terrorists to hide because of the advances in technology. So I am optimistic about the human condition and the human spirit from a physical perspective. And when we step into the spiritual perspective and look at things, look at this life as if we were a spiritual presence having a physical experience. When we look at this life as if we were God having this experience, that we have self-determination at our disposal, universal power at our disposal, that all we need to do is make a choice. All we need to do is have a firm belief in that which we choose to experience will become instantly manifest in our life. Then there is no reason at all to have, you know, any sense of doubt or fearfulness about what the future may hold.
Right. When we really understand who we are and what we're capable of, Nothing would dim our light. It's an exciting time to be alive, for sure.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Well, you know, it's a curious thing when you start to trust yourself and you start to capture the inspiration that you have, because I think a lot of times people play themselves down and they don't always bring their inspiration all the way to completion or fruition, if you will. And what I'm talking about is flow. When our soul shows us a dream of our life, it's a stepping stone that's been picked for us for where we are in our life at that time. Our dreams are intended for that moment, that inspiration for us to actually trust that our dreams are possible to be brought into creation so we can actually experience it and live it. And when you get inspiration, and we all do, it's really powerful to write it down. When you write it down, it does a curious thing. It gives it permanence, because so often you'll get inspiration when you least expect it. You'll be unloading the car and a thought will come in your head, or you'll be taking a shower, or you're doing something else, and this inspiration comes up. And when you capture that idea, that is the value itself. You know, at CEO Space, there's investors that want to leverage their money with ideas that they can leverage against the marketplace. And what I'm getting at here is when you honor your idea, you have a component of business that can be the seed that a business is formed around, and other people can finance coming to fruition. The idea itself is the gift. And when you learn about the nature of business, you learn about the ability for others to finance how your idea can come into fruition. I think a lot of the inspiration and innovation of the next chapters of humanity are going to be paradigms or arenas of ideas and technology that we really haven't experienced before. Because in the past, we've had such a collective, common experience. Everybody goes to school. Everybody gets a job. Everybody retires. And it's kind of a blueprint idea. And yet, when that model falters, we all feel the quake of it, because it's a monolithic concept. But in the next chapters, it's going to be more of a self-sustainable arena, where it's more of a honeycomb type arena, where there's little micro cells of people fulfilling their ideas, and the system becomes much more stable, because it's not based on some single monolithic concept. So what I'm getting at here is, you as our listener can be having an idea in your head, and you might not know how to bring it about. It might be too big to wrap your noggin about, because we're all really big souls. We're all connected to that source consciousness, and we can get an idea that might be intimidating for us. But when you take the time to learn about business, there's many opportunities there that might not be obvious to you about how to bring your idea about. And I really encourage you to reach out to people like Paul and engage in programs like CEO Space, so you can educate yourself in how you can honor the value of the idea that your heart and your soul is feeding you. because you don't have to do it by yourself, and you don't have to pay for it by putting your house up for sale.
Amen. Amen to that. Well, you inspired me in a lot of ways with that, with what you just spoke about. One of the things that you said is when you're inspired with an idea, write it down. You know, and I've written three books focused on spiritual growth, three inspirational books. The first one was a CD that I wrote and recorded in 2005, and it was an idea that came to me that just would not leave. And eventually that idea became all the source material to my first CD, which was called Remember. It's about remembering the important things in life. And my second and third books, The Practice of Awakening and The Practice of Awakening 2, are in essence a collection of these inspirations that I have had, little insights about being able to shift my energy in some way, a poem or a prayer or a song that came to me that really served me in the moment to shift my energy and to step into a higher vibration. And I did exactly what you were coaching other people to do, is write those down, you know, make them right, edit them, think about them. Some of the poems I've recited to myself, you know, hundreds of times, maybe even thousands of times. And then after I write down a bunch of these, I turn them into a book. So each one of those two books has about 150 or so little insights or poems or reflections or little songs that in each and every one of them has been precious to me in helping me shift my energy a little bit. And of course there's more books on the way and more inspirational. The inspiration never stops. You know,
right.
the new poems, you know, never stopped coming to me at all. And I did the same thing, by the way, when it comes to business. When I find a good business success principle, I write it down, and then I create programs around that, too. My first business book called The Foundation Factor that I put out in 2004 was a collection of best practices in business, in a lot of different areas of business. And my most recent program, Beyond Business Survival, which is an online, self-paced learning program that helps young business owners learn what they need to learn so that they can do what they need to do to be successful in business, is a collection of those business success principles. Almost every one of them that I've, you know, I made a mistake myself, or I've seen a client or a colleague make that mistake, and, you know, that mistake becomes a lesson, and that lesson becomes a business success principle, and then you gather them together and you create, you know, a work that can be, you know, significant to other people. So, you know, I want to encourage people, if that interests them, you can go to Amazon.com and look me up, Paul Hoyt, and purchase one or more of my Practice of Awakening books there. And if you're thinking about starting a business, or you are in business and it's not going as well as you would like for it to, or maybe you're just thriving like crazy but you just want to take it to the next level, then take a look at BeyondBusinessSurvival.com, which is the place where I share people information about my CEO training program. And, of course, they can always get a hold of me at PaulHoyt.com. If you go to PaulHoyt.com, I've got a lot of free programs and free information that can be most valuable to small business owners.
Very nice. I'm glad you included that, because I wanted to make sure people knew how to get a hold of you and connect with your resources. You know, you mentioned just now that well of inner inspiration never stops, and it doesn't. And it's that muscle reflex of trusting yourself. What I noticed when I first started engaging this idea of being a spiritual teacher and writing books and whatnot, I'd write it down, and then I'd sit there and look at it for way too long. This is quite a while ago. And then I would do it, and then I would write the next thing down, and I would look at it and look at it and look at it. And then I'd take action on it. And it's just like, you know, flexing that muscle when when you quicken the amount of time that happens from the moment you write down your inspiration to the moment you take action on it, there's a kind of a quickening that happens. And I think it's part of that journey of business itself, or the journey of spirituality itself. If we're all this infinite potential as a soul having a human experience, there's no way we can run the well dry. And I want to open the flipping floodgates and ride it like a whitewater rafting trip and just push myself over and over and over again in this raw kind of, let's see what happens next, unfolding of my of that own inner inspiration. There's something that's really electric when it becomes a habit. And you just take action and trust yourself. There's a quickening, and the ideas get bigger, and the sequencing gets faster. And I think some grace comes into it, because you kind of relax a little bit into it. And you know, in the beginning, we talked about feeling safe. If you want to feel safe, learn to trust yourself. If you want to feel safe, learn to take action on your inspiration. If you want to learn to play bigger, engage that well of inspiration with a sense of passion and curiosity. Go to it on a frequent basis and see what it has for you.
Amen. Step into the flow. Step into your power. It's amazing. You and I both know that we are each and every one of us has marvelous, incredible potential. So we just start taking steps in the direction of our dreams. We start being in that flow with a little bit of courage and start tasting of the power that we have, the divinity that we have within ourselves, and the process of expansion never stops.
Right. Well, you know, Paul, an hour goes by pretty fast, and we're coming to the end of the show. Is there anything you want to add before we finish this up?
Just a sense of gratitude to you, Les, for having this show and for encouraging people to, you know, to take spiritual growth, you know, seriously is not the right word, but to focus on the power that they have to grow personally and grow spiritually and to grow, you know, professionally as well, and to just live up to their potential and dare to dream and dare to take action on their dreams. So I honor you for that, and I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your show. If people would like to connect with me, you know, we've got Amazon, we've got beyondbusinesssurvival.com, and my website, my primary website at paulhoyt.com. I'd be honored to have a conversation with them about how I can support them on their journey.
Well, very nice. Well, thank you for being on our show.
Thank you, Les.
So when you consider the idea that your infinite potential now, your infinite potential now and always, if you engage that potential and follow it up with action as a reflex that you go to over and over and over again, you're going to find inside of your own being this story of your life that has so much excitement awaiting for you. I teach personal power on Monday nights in Boulder. It's called Human Energy Dynamics. You can find out about it at newhumanliving.com. And in that class, we go into the details of what it means to be a powerful person. So if you want to believe in yourself and show up for yourself, that's a great opportunity to do just that. It's been a pleasure hosting this show for you. I want you to show up for yourself in this, for your life, and fulfill that inspiration within your being. Until next time.
This has been a New Human Living radio broadcast. You can raise your own personal power with Personal Power Fundamentals Home Study Course at newhumanliving.com. Thanks for listening.